produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
A Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, and it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Each program I have shared how your brokenness is a big deal to God. If you are His child, He promises to take care of you and your broken pieces of life. He promises that He loves us unconditionally, and He wants for us to know that He loves us. He wants for us to choose to serve Him alone over anything else in our lives. The plans of this show is to continue to build up, to encourage, and to share more testimonials like mine in order to give further help in broken lives. I want to inspire you to know that you can overcome your battles in your life. You can move past your brokenness in your life. By sharing my personal testimony and others sharing their testimonies as well, I teach how I chose to become a better broken. From my personal experiences, using scripture from the Bible and asking questions for you to glean upon, I teach how you too can overcome many battles of brokenness that you might face in your life. My intention of this show is to talk about the things that we are dealing with right now in our lives. In the introduction of the book, A Better Broken for Youth, I stated, it's plain and simple, our lives will involve tribulations. John 16:33 states, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I'm so thankful that the Lord gives us this peace of understanding in our tribulations of life. I'm so thankful that we have a God that overcomes every obstacle that we might face. I want to emphasize on some things and remind us that the Lord is there for us no matter what. These are some things that the Lord has taught me, and I hope that He teaches you these things as well as you go through different types of brokenness in your personal lives. All of us right now are struggling with many things. There's so much going on in the world right now as we see all the disasters around us that are happening. We hear of earthquakes. We hear of the hurricanes in Louisiana and Texas area. We've had the COVID that we've had to deal with, the virus, and so many of us have know of people that have lost loved ones due to it or have lost a loved one due to it, and the tragedies in that, and just the changes in the world alone that we are facing today. So all of us are struggling with something in our lives right now. I read something a couple of weeks ago that helped me to realize that this program is needed. There was a time toward the beginning of this program that I struggled with coming up with what to say for the program, and I honestly thought about quitting the program, A Better Broken. And the Lord spoke to my heart as I read this quote. It's not from the Bible, but it's, and I'm not sure who wrote the quote, but it really struck me in all. It says, you never knew your brokenness today will be a blessing to others tomorrow. The trials you experience will be a great testimony someday. Someday, we will all be able to look back to this time that we are living in right now, and we will be a blessing to someone else, and we will be able to help someone else as they go through trials in their lives, if God allows for us to. God can carry us through our broken times, and He can help us to build off of them. That's what the Lord Jesus has done in my personal life. He has helped me with so much brokenness that I've had to come into my life personally. And He has been there for me. He has let me cry out to Him. He has allowed for me to scream and to shed tears and to just pour my heart wholly and completely to Him. When nobody else was there, Jesus was there. He heard every plea, and He still hears every plea that I might have. So I want you to realize and to remember that one day, whatever it is that you are facing right now in your life, you're going to be a help and a blessing to someone else. I don't care how low your valley is right now. One day, you will help someone else. If that's the last thing that I can tell you to encourage you, that your life is valued and that you can be a help and a blessing to someone else if you tarry just a little while longer, God's going to use you in a special way. This past week, my husband surprised our family with a quick beach trip for a couple of days, which was a blessing to our family. Our family is a pastor's family. My husband pastors a church here in Arkansas. And so we very much needed just a couple of days away to refresh and to refresh our minds and think about things and to just have some time for ourselves. and we really needed this as a family, and I'm so thankful that we were able to do this. And the condo that we stayed in, we were on the 13th floor, and the view was, we went to the Panama Beach, Panama City Beach, and the view from that condo was absolutely gorgeous. The most beautiful view that I've ever seen of the ocean. And so I was sitting outside one evening in the favorite spot that I found of our condo patio, and I was listening to the beautiful waves as they came crashing in. Tears started streaming as I wrote this, and I was thinking about the terrible news of a young family who lost their wife, and the children lost their mom due to suicide. I will not publicly list the name of the family, and I did not personally know the family, but I do know from a pastor's wife standpoint, from a person who has struggled with depression and anxiety and different things that I've had to come up in my personal life, I understand the things that she was going through, the pain that she was feeling in her life, whatever it was that drove her to this, I can understand the feelings that she had. She was a pastor's wife, a mom to children, a daughter to her parents, a sister to her siblings if she had any. She was a cousin, maybe an aunt. The list could go on. No doubt she was loved by many, and my heart is broken for this precious, precious young family. No longer does this pastor have his wife to help him in all of his endeavors in the ministry, and there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that the wives help their pastor husbands with. And so many times do we get so wrapped up in the ministry that we don't stop to realize that we are in need of normal conversation. We're in the need of normal friendships, just like everyone else. But my heart is broken for this family. No longer do these precious kids that they had have a mom. Why? No one knows. We may never know what someone is going through in their lives. I myself have been in these kind of dark places in my personal life. I'm not too prideful to admit that. I've said it several times. Satan fights all of us in so many ways. And especially those of you that are in the ministry, sometimes I think that Satan fights us a little harder because he wants to destroy whatever ministry it is that you are involved in. Even if you're not in the ministry and you're just a Christian mom and a Christian wife who wants to have a godly home, Satan is going to fight you and your home in some kind of way. And so we all have these dark places in our life. And I can't share everything that's on my heart, or I would be writing another book right now as I'm speaking to you on the program. But there is a purpose for the book that I am working on now, A Better Broken for Ladies. The story of the suicide of the young pastor's wife, this is one reason for the book. If I can help encourage just one lady to go on, to keep going, to keep serving the Lord, to keep being the great mom and wife and things that she does in her life, to be the best that she is and all of these things, then it will be worth it all for me. Just like with the book for youth, if I could have helped just one young person to strive to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with their lives, no matter what mistakes they've made, no matter what they've done in their past, no matter how many times they've done certain things in the past, God can use them in a special way. And just like us as ladies, God can use us in a special way. And I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed for me to pin down and write the thoughts that I have that might be helpful to others. Please pray for this precious pastor's family. The Lord knows their name, and they need the encouragement from Him and the help and strength from Him right now. Encourage your pastor's wife. Take time to make her feel special. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor's wife myself. I would be practicing this as well if I had a pastor's wife for myself personally. I would, there's been times for my past pastor's wives that I personally had that I would give them little gifts. I would write little thank you notes or whatever. Just take time to make them feel special in some way. I realized a long time ago, even before I was in the ministry myself, that the lonely lives of leadership, what kind of lives that they lead. I also realized, because I've been there too, how busy young moms live lonely as well. Young moms can get so wrapped up and get so busy in raising their kids, feeding them, changing diapers, keeping them entertained as they play with your pots and pans so that you can at least get the dishes done so that you can get supper ready. Yet you feel so lonely because you haven't been able to take just 5 minutes off for yourself as you've been wrapped up in all of the things that you've had to do for the day. Phone calls are short because the baby gets into something. Texting takes too long because your baby wants your complete attention. The thank you cards that you intended to write are still sitting on the table empty. I get it. Then you wonder if you will ever have time for yourself. So once your husband finally comes home, you ask him to please watch the baby so that you can at least take a 5-minute shower. Ladies, I so understand. I've raised 2 children myself. I understand where you are. So, your husband comes in, gives you 5 minutes to get a shower, and you jump in the shower, and then all you do is just cry. May I remind you that it is perfectly okay for you to cry? I read and posted a meme yesterday on my Facebook page that said, "Have you ever just started crying because you've been holding in your emotions and pretending to be okay for way too long?" Under that meme, I raised my hand because, of course, most of us ladies have done just what that meme says. We have just started to cry because we couldn't hold anything else in our hearts that we were hiding. Studies show that crying is a human response to sorrow. It is humanly normal for us to cry. It's a response to sorrow, frustration, hurt, pain, anger, whatever else it is that you are going through. These are all normal things that we cry about. It's healthy to cry because it's a natural way for us to reduce our stress. How many of you feel so much better after you sit down somewhere and you have a cry to yourself? How many of you feel so much better? I know that I personally feel better when I have these special moments alone with the Lord. It's healthy and natural. If you continually hold back your tears, it can have a terrible effects on you emotionally and physically. It can also increase the risk of sickness or stress-related diseases in your life. So, cry. Cry when you need to. The next time that you are in the store and you see a struggling mom that is a friend of yours, maybe stop them and just talk to them for a few minutes. This very well might be just a five-minute talk to an adult that this young mom might need. The next time that you see your pastor's wife, stop her and tell her how much you appreciate her. The next time you see that working lady friend that is rushing around trying to get something to throw together for supper, stop her and ask her how her day was. She just might need that 2 or 3 minutes to breathe and then to vent frustrations of the day. Just another friend to listen to. You never know what someone is going through on the inside. You never know how your kind words or your encouragement may be just the words that they needed to hear to make it through another day. Remember this and do what you can to make a difference. From what I studied, physical chronic pain or disease are some of the greatest causes for depression and suicidal thoughts or attempts. A lot of people have one of these illnesses or several illnesses without anyone even knowing about it. Another great cause is emotional pain or letdown from the very ones that you love. You never know what's going through someone's mind. You never know what one is going through on the inside due to hurt and betrayal from even family members. I have been interested in psychology myself for a while, and it's amazing how many normal people go through phases such as these. Of course, something happens or has been building inside of them to trigger such thoughts of insecurity, heartache, pain, and depression. I personally have battled the same anxiety and depression that others have, and even you might have. And even in recent days have I had this battle. And it's no joke. The burdens are real. The pain is real. The fear is real. But I also serve a real Savior who is there by my side. In my mind and in my heart, and working in my mind, and the Lord works in my heart to help me to overcome thoughts and temptations that I might have. He is a real Savior that is there for us. You can too help with have help from the Lord Jesus Christ if you call out to Him. You can also share your thoughts with Him, cry out to Him. I can't explain the whys to the pain and discouragement, both emotionally and physically, that we might have to fight. But I do know that God has been there all the while, and on the days that I feel like I just can't go on, He gives all of the strength that I need to get up and to go on another day. This is a mental illness. Sometimes depression is called a mental illness, and it's not selfishness. Maybe you have been through some of these things in your own life or your family. I know of a couple of good, perfectly healthy young people that had genuinely good hearts that fell into the trap of depression, and then it led to suicide. I can't imagine what those who have suffered from discouragement or depression without the strength of God have been through as they go through trials with no faith at all, no one to trust. Our Lord Jesus is the ultimate healer, and He is the only one who is there for us and truly understands, even when it seems like no one understands. There is so much that we all struggle to understand, and it may not be His will to always understand everything, but it is His will for us to continually fight to serve our God and to live out His plan for our lives. Know that you are important to God, and you do have someone to talk to. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He knew before we even shed the first tear. He loves us unconditionally, He listens to us wholeheartedly, and He speaks to us as we read His Word for comfort. I have verses that I wanted to share with you for comfort as we deal with this title. One says Joshua 1:9, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then in Isaiah 30 verses 20 through 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. I'm going to add, God is there. And then Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What a wonderful promise that is, that we are valued even more than the sparrows that he made. We are his children. He knows every hair that we have on our bodies. He knows the number of every hair that we have on our bodies. What shall we fear in? In him, we have nothing to fear. These thoughts come from the topics from my books. This personal topic came from a better book, A Better Broken for Ladies. And I will be releasing this book in the very near future. And I ask that you would pray for me as I continue to listen to what God wants for me to share. And remember, too, that no matter what you are personally going through in your life, God is there for you. He loves you, and through your brokenness, no matter what it may be, you can be used by him. When it seems like you're all alone, remember that you're not alone. God is with you. It is my desire to share what the Lord places on my heart, and I pray that I am a blessing and I continue to be a blessing to you. As I close this program for today, I want to again say a special thank you to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing me and my other friends to be a part of this wonderful organization. I also wanted to say a special thank you to Kayla Padgett and Tammy Polk for asking me to be involved in this program, to my husband and children for their love and support, and all of my other precious family and friends that God has blessed me with. Thank you all for your continuous love and support. I also want to say a special thank you to all of you who are listening right now. Again, this has been a Better Broken radio broadcast, and my name is Angie West. Join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program. Or you can listen to some of the programs on my Facebook page, A Better Broken Radio Broadcast. And if you're interested in my books or my handmade resin jewelry, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under the title A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. And if you would just like to purchase a book alone, I have some under on Amazon.com under author Angie West. I also would like to invite you ladies to join some friends and I as we come together and do a week-long ladies conference. And the dates are September the 14th through the 20th at 8 p.m., A Better Broken will be on the Saturday night meeting time, and we'll be going through the products that I have, and also sharing my testimony of how the ministry was started. And there's so many other ladies that have wonderful testimonies that we would love for you to hear. So join us, Righteously Redeemed Ministries, for Joy in the Journey, September 14th through the 20th at 8 p.m. each night, Eastern Standard Time, or Central Standard Time, I'm sorry. Thank you again for listening, and you have a wonderful day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Just to make you love me, I would even give my life. But I Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, the show where Christian authors share their stories through their books to inspire you to speak up and share your own story. Today, I have invited author Therese Sherrell into the Speak Up Sis space to talk to us about relationships. She has written a book that deals with not just intimate, romantic partner relationships, but all types of relationships, from familial to financial. Yes, she even deals with your relationship with your money in this book. So I'm really excited to invite her to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio to share a little bit about herself and a lot about her book. So let's welcome Miss Therese Sherrell to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Hello, Speak Up Sis Talk Radio listeners. It is so good to be here in the space with you all again for another amazing conversation with another awesome Christian author. And today we've got Miss Therese Sherrell in the Speak Up Sis space today to talk to us about her book that deals with relationships. And so I'm going to pass the mic over and allow her to introduce herself and her book and tell you a little bit about herself. Therese?
Yes. Hi, Angel. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am doing well, sis. Thank you for saying yes to coming into the space.
Thank you for having me. I am born and raised in New Orleans. I am a child of God. I am a mother. I am a daughter. I am a minister elect at the City of Love under Bishop Lester Love and Pastor Fran Love here in New Orleans. I am an author, speaker, and relationship coach. I am the co-author of Unshakable Faith and the co-editor of Queens Rising, the Movement magazine. I am also the owner of Transforming Consciously, where I seek to help individuals understand and navigate the changing waters of relationships. I have an MBA from University of Phoenix. I also have a paralegal certification. And I just love to network and connect with like-minded entrepreneurs and spread the message of hope, love, and practicing harmonic prosperity.
Wow. You got a lot going on, sis.
Just a few little things.
When you want anything done, and if you want it done right, you get a woman who has things on her calendar. You get a woman who's productive in on it, and you're going to get it done. So to me, it just sounds like you're productive.
Thank you. And I'm so glad you made that distinction, because in the book, I say busy people stay broke. Productive people make profits. So we want to make profits. We want to be productive, not just
That's
business.
Right. That is right. And the book that you are talking about is Live, Learn, Love with an Open Heart, right? And you give
yes,
us some life lessons on how to live, learn, and love. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what precipitated this book. What made you decide that you needed to write this book?
Well, I've always loved to read, write, speak, and act as a child. And I actually started writing at about 8 or 9 years old, just talking about life, relationships, growing up, you know, different things of that nature. And of course, as I got older, it kind of got replaced with, you know, other things that kind of occupied that time. I write poetry also. And it was something that was always there, but I wasn't really doing it anymore. And in 2018, I became affiliated with the All Access Foundation here in New Orleans under CC Harrison, who was the CEO of our church at the time. And that's where pretty much the idea came to write the book. So the organization mentors young girls and women in 4 categories: going back to school, starting a business, writing a book, or becoming a homeowner.
Okay.
And I was working on some of those other areas. As I stated, I have the MBA, so school wasn't an option at the time. I was doing credit repair and credit restoration, so that went in with the home buyer's piece. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to start you know, to get back into my writing. And thus the opportunity presented itself, and I took it.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. So tell us about the book itself.
Okay, so it's Live, Learn, Love with an Open Heart, Life Lessons on Cultivating Healthy and Meaningful Relationships. And in this book, I just seek to help readers to understand, acknowledge, and appreciate the variety of relationships in our lives. Relationships take on many forms. So usually when you hear someone say relationship, they may think of, you know, partner, spouse, husband, wife. But in the book, I break down relationships into the various categories. So I address familial, casual, platonic, romantic, and professional relationships, because I believe that all relationships are lessons and blessings, even the ones that don't work out. And there is something that you can learn from all of your relationships.
Right. Now, I actually highlighted a quote from your book that I believe resonates with what you just said, and also sort of what Speak Up Sis is all about. And you wrote, "I have learned more, experienced more, shared more, lost more, and even gained more. So now I have more to speak about, and my experiences will help bless someone dealing with various issues I have encountered." I was like, yes. Yes, ma'am. Is that kind of where you said, okay, now that I know, it's time for me to share what I know with other people?
Yes, that's where it was. Because as I stated, you know, writing as a child, it was great, but that was just my understanding of life and relationships at 8 or 9 years old. So being that I'm older, you know, you have to go through it to get to it. I like to say, you hear the older folks say experience is the best teacher. So as I've gained more knowledge and experience dealing with different people and different types of relationships, I wanted to share that, because I know that most of us, you know, deal with the same things, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, nothing is new under the sun. So something that we are currently going through or have gone through, someone else has already been there, done that. And if they are willing and open to share their experiences with us, they may save us a lot of heartache and pain.
Right.
If we heed them, you know, if we pay attention, now, if we just do what we want to do, like we do sometimes, then we'll totally miss the lesson. But if we definitely, you know, take heed to what they say, I do believe that it will definitely save us, you know, some time, some heartache and pain in the future.
Right. I feel you on that. So you start the book out talking about faith. Faith is. Why did you start with faith? This is a book talking about relationships. So what does faith have to do with relationships?
Well, faith has everything to do with relationships. And for me, growing up in a spiritual, you know, having that strong spiritual foundation was very important to me, because God wants to be or should be the ultimate relationship. And when I think about examples of relationships, I feel that he's the perfect example when you look at what you want in a relationship. So you want someone who's going to love you, respect you, make sacrifices for you, compromise, forgive you. And, you know, as I go down the list, God is all that and more. So for me, it was a no-brainer to start with faith, because my faith is what got this book done. You know, it's what started this process.
That's
for
right.
Me. Even taking it back there. So I definitely had to acknowledge him, because I mean, who knows me better than him? So if you want to have that relationship with, you know, your partner, spouse, children, yourself, or anyone else, for me, it starts with that faith in God and that relationship that you have with him. And you want to make sure that it's healthy, you know, that it's mutually beneficial, because it's very important. I'm big on healthy. We don't just want relationships. We want healthy, mutually beneficial relationships.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. I want to give our listeners just an idea, maybe just a little taste of what we have in this book, what you've given us in the book. So I'm going to go through just the chapters, and maybe you can give us just a little bit of a synopsis, maybe, of what, okay, you know, what's involved in those chapters. So okay, you start us out with faith, and then it only makes sense that you go in to family. So tell us a little bit about Family Matters.
Well, Family Matters, so for me, outside of faith, the next or the first concept or idea that you have with relationships is with your family, although most times we don't consider that a relationship. So, you know, before I can have friends, before I can have a spouse, before I can have any of those things, you have your family, and just learning to understand the dynamics of family. And I break down, family isn't just, you know, your immediate family. It's extended. Family is someone that can be related to you by birth, marriage, adoption. So it's not just mother, father, sister, brother. You know, it's aunts, uncles, cousins, your auntie and them, your parent, you know, other people that have that, you know, that family element, that's your village that you used to grow up with back in the day. So just really appreciating those people and acknowledging their place and how they really help to influence you. Now, some people's family experience, you know, may be good, and mm-hmm, others may not have been the best, but I do believe it's important that you acknowledge, you know, what you did have and think about what you learned from it. So if you didn't have the best experience, then you're going to make sure that if you have kids, you know, you do everything for them that you may not have had as a child. And on the flip side of that is, I share some about mine. I had a pretty, you know, good, decent childhood. So I definitely want to instill some of those values in my daughter that were instilled in me when I was her age.
Right. That's what's up. I totally can understand that. And then you went on to chapter two, deals with chapter three deals with friends and finances. So I think having a right relationship with your friends and your finances, and not mixing your friends and your finances.
Yeah, that's true. Because you can lose a friendship behind some money now. Or a family member too. You know how people are about their money. But I just wanted to say that after family, friends are our chosen family. You know, we can't select our family, the family we're born into. But friends are different, because the really good, great friends get promoted to family. I don't have any biological sisters. So I do mention, you know, two different friends that I've met at different points in my life, because usually you think of friends as someone you grew up with, you know, way back when, elementary school, as they call grammar school,
right,
high school, and you go through this whole journey. Now, that, you know, that could be a friend, but there's also friends that God places in our lives later in life. So I speak about a friend from high school that we're still friends today. And then I speak about a friend that came later in life, but because of the experiences that we've shared, you know, and the connection that we had, we actually started out as business associates.
Oh, wow.
We were doing credit repair and credit restoration together. And, you know, we cultivated and developed that relationship. And that's my sister now. You know, when she comes to New Orleans, she no longer lives here. You know, she comes to the house, I go to the house, you know, we spoil each other kids. And that's just an example of when God places people in your life at different times. So while I didn't grow up with her, you know, from elementary school and high school, she came later in life, she still, you know, has that place that, you know, other friends have. On the flip side of that, I speak about being careful who you give that title to. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody's not your friend.
Right.
So,
right,
of course, you know, I had to learn that, and my uncle taught me, you know, that title is earned. You know, everybody you know is not your friend. And you know how us, you know, how we, I'm going to say we as females, you know, we cool and everything like that. But, you know, life is taught now, experience, life is taught that title is one to be earned. You know, I may have a lot of associates, I may have a lot of people that I'm cool with, but I would only say I have maybe a handful or two of people that I actually call a friend.
Right. You know what I really liked when I was reading the portion of the book that I've been able to finish? So readers, I still have the second half to get through. However, the first part is good. So you're going to want to make sure that you check it out. But what I really liked about the book, as I read the first part and I sort of skimmed through the last part to make sure I felt confident about having this conversation with you, is that you don't focus the entire book on romantic relationships. And I think sometimes, especially with women, when we talk relationship, we usually are thinking a romantic relationship that we're having with, you know, with our spouse or boyfriend or something of that nature. But what I really like about this book is that you're not just focusing on romantic relationships, but you're dealing with different types of relationships, you know, with, like you said, with family members. You talk about your mom and your dad and your siblings. You talk about your favorite uncle. You know, you even talk about your experiences with money, you know, that weren't that great at first, and you learn to, you know, have a better relationship with even your finances. So I really think that these types of conversations are necessary. They're needed, and we need to know that romantic, intimate partner relationships are not the only ones that we need to work on.
Yes, you put it so well, sis. I really like that. And to be honest with you, I believe that life has many lessons to teach, and through mm-hmm. our relationships, we discover who we really are. You know, you have to go through it to get to it. So when you look at your relationships, as I've stated, they're the greatest lessons and blessings of life, whether good or bad. They are designed to teach us something. They can teach us about life, ourselves, and others. So it's very important that we, you know, be mindful again and making choices when we engage in these relationships. Because just as you choose to be in it, you can choose not to be in it as well if it's not healthy and mutually beneficial. And right. That's family, friends, you know, partner, spouse, work, you know, you have the choice. And I think that we don't realize that we have the power of choice lies within each of us. So, you know, we need to make choices that are reflective of the way we want to engage in relationships. And we have to teach people how we want to be treated. You know, if we just allow anything and settle for anything, then people are just going to give us anything. But when you have a high self-esteem, when you know who you are and whose you are, you know your value and you know your worth, and you're not going to accept anything from anyone. And they aren't going to just give you anything because they know you're not going to accept it. So that's very important also, that we show them, you know, how to treat us. And a part of that is having self-love and care for ourselves, knowing how we deserve and want to be treated.
That's good, sis. I'm going to tell you, and I think that is a great segue into your chapter 4, choices, chances, changes. I was like, okay. And that quote that you started off with by Zig Ziglar, choices, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. Those are some wise words.
Thank you, Z. I just borrowed them. But when you really look at it, like I just shared, we have the power, you know, and our power is in the choices that we make. And sometimes we get caught up on focusing on things that we cannot control, and then we lose control because we don't focus on the things that we can control. Mm. So when I got to that point, because, you know, everyone reaches that pivotal moment in their life, you know, when they have this acknowledgement, and as I went on, I spoke about acknowledge, accept, and adjust. And mm-hmm. it all comes to a point in life and in time when we need to do that. You know, it's a form of self-evaluation and self-reflection. There are some things that we need to acknowledge, accept, and adjust about ourselves. So that goes in line with the choices, the chances, and the changes. Right. Because like I said, if you want to, you know, be in a relationship or not, because we have that choice, and everyone has that choice. So we just need to make sure, hey, you know, life is so simple, but we make it so complicated sometimes because we don't know what to choose and how to choose. But I believe that every day God wakes us up and allows us to see another day, that's a choice. You know, just as he chose to wake us up, we should choose to, you know, to do something with our lives and with ourselves that's going to be pleasing in his sight. So we're going to have missions and goals and dreams as you are, and, you know, having life works and trying to help others, because that's a choice that we should make. Now, everyone doesn't make that choice, and that's fine, because we do have the power. That's why God gives us free will. You know, he's not a forceful God. He gives us the opportunity to make our own choices. And some choices we make are good and some are not so good. But even with the not so good ones, we can still learn from them. You know, we don't have to beat ourselves up because we didn't make the best decision. But on the other side of that is being mindful, because we know the choices we make today will affect us tomorrow, you know, weeks, months, even years down the road. And they will also affect our children.
Right.
So now, because I am a parent, you know, I'm mindful. I do have a daughter. I'm like, hey, you know, when it was just me, you know, maybe I could make a choice. But I'm like, no, you know, I'm very mindful because I have a daughter. And although it's a choice I make, I don't want her to have to pay for a choice or a decision I make.
Exactly. I don't think a lot of people think that far into their decision making. I really don't, especially in our current society where we've got narcissism on the rise and everything is about me and what I want to do and what benefits me and what's going to be best for me. But you're right. It's very important that when we understand relationships, we understand that we're all connected in a very divine way. And the decisions that we choose to make for ourselves are going to impact other people. And especially if we have children, they're most definitely going to affect our kids, right? And not just our kids, but everyone who's connected to us, you know, our cubicle partners at work, you know what I'm saying? Or the people that we have to interact with at school, the decisions that we make affect everyone who has to live in our space and whose spaces we live in. So I agree with you.
Thank you. And especially now, as you stated, in light of, you know, COVID, hey, if you don't wear that mask, your decision may, you know, affect someone else's life. So especially now, it's very crucial that we don't just think, you know, I'm not going to wear my mask, because your decision not to wear a mask may cause someone else their life. So let's definitely in this season, you know, in all seasons, but definitely this one, be very careful and mindful of the choices that we make.
Right. I think that's why it's important to have books like yours that help people see the value in relationships. And then your chapter 5, it's titled Commitment to Cultivating Relationships. I was like, wow, I love the title, because solid relationships aren't things that just happen haphazardly, right? We actually have to take time, just like a garden. We have to take time to actually cultivate, and we have to take time to actually dig up the ground and fertilize and water. We have to take time to actually, you know, cultivate. And you say commitment to cultivating the relationships. I think that, oh goodness, commitment is a key word. Like, because come on, we're all people, and you gotta just make a decision that this is something I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be committed to doing. If not, your poor little garden is not going to grow anything except weeds. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that is so true. And just in that chapter, you know, I just give them some elements of what I believe constitute successful, healthy relationships. Now, while all relationships are not created equally, you know, I'll say that each one has the power to teach us. So I speak about communication, respect, trust, honesty, loyalty, commitment, common values, support, forgiveness. You know, those are things that I believe constitute, like I said, it's like a cake to me. I kind of liken it to baking a cake. You know, you need all the right ingredients. You can't have too much of this and not enough of this. You need just the right amount, but the right amount is going to vary from relationship to relationship. But right. I believe that, you know, that the most successful and healthy ones do have these elements in there, as well as others as well. So it's just pretty much knowing what you do and don't want in your relationship and being able to communicate that, you know, to your partner, to your employer, you know, to your friend, to your family, just making sure that they are able to understand what it is that you need and give it to you if they're able to. And I like when you mentioned the garden, because I say relationships are beautiful flowers that must be cultivated and watered by time, love, attention, and even transformation. Mm. Yeah, one of my greatest fears of being in a relationship is that I never want to lose myself. And that's something that, you know, while you want to give them time and attention and water them as they deserve and need to be, you know, sometimes we can give so much of ourselves to others that there's nothing left for us. Mm-hmm. So right. that's the losing myself part, because as women especially, you know, we wear so many crowns. I'm going to say crowns, not hats. We wear so many crowns. And you know, we're mothers, we're daughters, we're employers, we're businesswomen, we're entrepreneurs. You know, we have so much to give and to do. And yet, you know, sometimes, you know, we get empty or we extend ourselves. And the other side of that is just making sure that you maintain, you know, a healthy balance. It's all about balance and being able to manage and do all those things. But you can't pour from an empty cup. And I know you've heard that before. So while we're giving and cultivating and loving and giving time and attention to our relationships, all different types, let's make sure we put that same energy and time into ourselves as well.
That's what's up. Listen, y'all. Therese has dropped some jewels on us today. And that is not even the end of the book. Mm-hmm. There is a whole other section that deals with loving the legacy. Her chapter 7 is time is of the essence. And then she's got chapter 8, the true me, true to me. And then chapter 9, transforming light. Listen, everybody, you all need to do yourselves a favor and get this book. It's going to be a nice read. You can just kind of have your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, sit out on the balcony and just read her words. There are some good words of wisdom in this book. There are some really great biblical principles that pertain to relationships of all sorts in this book. So check it out. Therese, where can the people find your book in order to order a copy and read it? And do you have a website? How can the people get in contact with you?
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon Kindle and Barnes and Nobles on both ebook and Nook. You just type Live, Learn, Love with an Open Heart. You'll see this nice, beautiful picture of me in a red dress. I am also on Facebook as Therese Sherrell, T-E-R-I-E-C-E. C-H-E-R-E-L-L. And I also have a page for the book. It's Live, Learn, Love with an Open Heart. I'm on Instagram as I am Therese Sherrell, Twitter Therese Sherrell, and my website is www.therese.com.
That's what's up. Therese, I appreciate you for coming into the space today and sharing yourself as well as your story through your written work. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I think we could probably spend hours. And just so y'all know, y'all already know that I've already spent like 30, 40 minutes talking to her before this conversation, right? My listeners, they already know. We have already had a conversation, so we could probably talk like for hours beyond this, but 30 minutes is what we have time for today. And I just want to say thank you so much for being an amazing guest today. I enjoyed reading the parts of the book that I have read, and I will get back with you to let you know, all of my thoughts about the remaining part of the book.
And thank you so much for having me. It has been great. I love the opportunity and the conversation. I just want to leave them with this one thing. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more beautiful or greater than an open, loving heart. When our hearts are open, we can both give and receive the pure, unconditional love of God. For God is love, and we too are love. So I just want to encourage you to live, learn, and love with an open heart.
And with that, everyone, we will see you next time on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Bye.
Therese, thank you so much for coming into the Speak Up Sis space today and sharing live, learn, love with an open heart. I really appreciate you, sis. All right, everyone, we're done for the day. I appreciate your time and ear. I thank you for tuning in to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, where Christian authors have a chance to share their stories to inspire yours. Please visit me online at speakupsis.com and follow me on Facebook at Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. I can also be found on Instagram at speak.up.sis. Until next time, have a beautiful day and be blessed. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.